I suggest you don't worry about this sort of thing and just enjoy yourself. That goes for you all, too.
Episodes.
After our recent string of
weird episodes.
Very weird episodes, we have another weird episode, except, I want to say, I feel like there's been a bit of a dip in quality of episodes. This one, however, yes. I really enjoyed.
Yeah, no. No. Oh, the I, one I you mean, struggled through you while I was getting done. I was very glad when I realized, I'm away this week. Suffer.
Yeah, I'm gonna just miss out the really shit episode.
I'm gonna spend the weekend at my young friends. Dome the likes of which the Sis do not imagine.
We have a fucking good episode.
We have a good episode with a turd on top right at the end.
The ending of the episode.
It's not quite the ending, but yeah.
Unnecessary? Not like, but it's unnecessary is what I would say. Like, it served no purpose whatsoever. So we are Stargate Oversight. We're a podcast that ostensibly talks about the military.
The military.
I don't know if we do that anymore.
The Foxhound program, the Metal Gear program, the Cyborg Ninja program,
the Vocal Cord Parasite program.
You know, all the things that the military are doing with your tax money.
I mean, Operation Snake Eater just happened in this timeline.
Shout out to our brave troops who pulled off Operation Snake Eater.
Hi, Ryan.
For some reason, podcast always decided my camera is always on unless I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I had a remote private gender clinic appointment, and my camera did not want to turn on. Like, Google was just like, no, you don't have a camera. It's right there.
I had to use Microsoft Teams for the first time at work, and it's like, why is this so shit? Can't everyone just use Discord? Call it a day?
No, because Microsoft paid an awful lot, and Discord is for sweaty gamer bros.
Please, I need to nonce my coworkers on Discord.
Bruh. I do not want my coworkers finding out my Discord.
There are way too many reported issues that have happened at jobs without Discord.
Let's move on to our episode before Ryan says something actionable.
Discord, are you howling at the moon? I'm sleeping in the middle of a summer afternoon.
I didn't say my job, I said works. honestly, my work's been pretty
general.
Clear. It's just people getting into arguments and crying.
I have been waiting for this episode ever since we got to season 2, and I have done.
I wonder why. Was it because of the outfit?
It's just such a funny, standout, unusual episode.
It is, yes.
And I just did not want to say
there's
shit,
a very
which...
interesting choice this episode made as well. I don't like there's a recurring gag they do. I don't know how well they pulled it off actually, but so throughout this episode they keep doing very cliche obvious references to other sci-fi properties like Star Wars and Star Trek. But interestingly, what I noticed that they did do is that this is a time travel episode, and they keep repeatedly edging you about to do a Back to the Future reference, and then they don't do it.
What do you mean they don't do it?
How then do we get back to the future?
Well, okay, there's that bit, but for, like, the most of the rest of it, they, like, half say a line and then change it at the last second and be like, ha-ha-ha, not gonna say it!
I mean, I'd argue Tilk there is the reference. Also,
but no, but there's, like, various things where they're, like, they stop just short of being like, but how much power is this going to need?
So, fun fact, if you are Italian or Czech, this episode was spoiled for you.
What?
Wait, really? What? Wait, how?
In every other language, the episode's called 1969, right? That could mean a lot of things. In Czech and Italian, the episode was literally named Time Travel.
I mean, at the time, I guess, but, like, in, like, the modern era where everything has an episode synopsis, which spoils the entire plot of the episode anyway.
This is true.
Actually, so, do you remember the TV
guy? Yeah, friend of the show, the TV...
No, you're right, the TV guy did that shit. Yeah, no, you're right.
So, the younger viewers, under the age of 28 or 30 even.
Do you not remember when
there used to be an amazing magazine that got shipped out to thousands of people?
I think they still do it seasonally, but the TV guys,
oh, they do, but people don't know what it is. It's called the TV Guide, which literally just had a fucking daily listing of every episode of every show that was going to be on TV that day, and gave you
because you know back in the day before your like your set-top satellite box, without the TV Guide, you would literally not know what was going to be on television. Because like nowadays, that's just built in. It tells you what the programming for like the next sort of week or whatever is, but like. Yeah, back then you had to actually get an actual magazine to...
Yep, you could either get a subscription where it would be sent to your house every day with the with the post, or you had to go down to the news agents, which was a thing that existed just not just to sell booze. And you...
you don't just buy booze there, you top your power.
Now, I do have to, like, crucially point out that, as Ryan said, this is a thing... mostly for people, say, under that 28 age bracket. I am under that age. Again, like, the TV Guide for me is less of that, and it is more of that, like, the seasonal thing where it's, like, the Christmas TV Guide.
Yes.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I used to see mainly. I mainly saw the Christmas one where it was, like, literally, like,
your parents buy the Torygraph or the Times, and you get, like, a big chunky Christmas guide.
And then, or you had the red button, which brought up this weird fucking, teletext.
I remember... Oh,
F's in chat for teletext.
Oh, God. I remember, like, I never... I thankfully for my parents, never pressed it, but when we still had, like, Sky when I was little... I remember, like, on all of, like, the kids' channels where they would have, like, the red button that would, like, allow you to play the most dog shit games ever, but also, like, charge a huge fee to, like, make you play them.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I never pressed it because I was a good kid, but, like, what the fuck was up with that?
It was just, like, a news delivery thing, and the red button used to be like games.
But like they're like, ah, yes, press the red button, you can play all of these cool games. Lopez mission before.
Yeah, half of them are most of them are.
Pay £5.50 to get more blocks or whatever, or more balls to play the fucking block breaker game.
Damn, they were really ahead of their time in microtransactions, weren't they?
Yeah,
they literally just. Oh my god, this game's been just a microtransaction model.
Now instead, it's just press the red button or to bring up your Sky Glass to go on board with every driver. You can even watch Nikita Mazepin go live into the wall.
I mean, I haven't, like, touched Sky in, like, I don't know, like, made, like, nearly 20 years at this point, so I have no idea how it works now. So, Stargate, am I right? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Stargate Oversight. My name is Arctisha Frost. My pronouns are she and her.
Hi, I'm Hope Frail. My pronouns are she and it.
Hi, I'm Q Kazura. My I'm Ryan Dickerson. I'm Ryan, and my pronouns are here.
Ryan, the man who sold his name.
Oh man, I've been playing the shit out of that.
Wait, hold on, that's out?
Yes.
Oh shit. Yes, I didn't even realize that was out. Fuck. Fake Yakuza. Exposed as a fake Yakuza fan.
Yeah.
I've been playing it, like, the shit out of it.
See, I heard about it.
I've done that thing where I've done, like, oh, for, like 10, 20 hours and just started, like,
the driving force for me to actually get off my ass and get a new job now is just to play
Yakuza.
Hey, just get a fucking, like, Game Pass subscription from, like, Asia or something, or, like some country in Europe for, like, £2. So I did. I mean, what?
Just get off your ass. Kiryu would be proud of you for getting off your ass.
He would be. You're right.
Also, speaking of the TV Guide, do you not remember, like, a season ago when the TV Guide spoiled the twist of the episode?
Honey, I don't remember, like, what happened in my life yesterday.
So remember when they ended up in Antarctica?
Oh, I remember you talking about this now. Yeah.
The show's arch nemesis, the TV Guide.
Damn you, TV Guide!
See, that's what you give it to Kiryu, and you let Kiryu beat people up with a rolled-up TV Guide.
No, Kiryu wouldn't have the TV Guide. Kiryu's too busy trying to get the pornography magazines for child.
Hey, look, you got to show the child what it's like to be a man, okay?
I'm sorry, child, your pornography magazine is covered in blood. I beat 3 Nichima clan members to death with it.
No, way wrong. Anyway.
Clan, I think I was pulling tech in there.
No, I mean, there are clans, but like, wrong name and also not what happened.
I know.
The magazine was covered in embarrassment.
It was a stealth section in which you had to sneak up to the vending machine without getting caught by a bunch of women hanging around there because Kiryu would be too embarrassed to buy a porn magazine with people watching him.
It's great. It's like the most manly man ever got. Oh no, oh, embarrassed. Oh no, I cannot do it. They'll think I'm a weirdo who likes porn.
Please, I'm not a weirdo who likes porn. I'm just buying this for a small child.
I'm holding on to it for someone else. It's fine. Stargate.
Yes, Stargate. Welcome to a regular day. We've got mission prep, SG-1 ready to go. No one is dialing in.
No one's dialing in anything from either side because, unfortunately, Sam has to do mathematics.
What?
He has to do that hot girl nerd shit.
Yeah, and everyone else is like, what are you talking about with your number shit, you dumb whore?
Solar flares, what? We just look at those. They don't do anything, do they?
Oh, sorry, we're not back in the 60s yet.
No,
Daniel, I was joking with my misogyny.
Right, misogyny, yes. Like, wait, what? Yes, no. The computer is so stupid it doesn't even think to account for the sun when this time of year we have to put our wormhole right by the sun. What's the worst that could happen?
So they...
Listen, the sun doesn't affect anything. It's just a big ball of fire.
So, so they finally get all this nerd shit going on. And then, like, Hammond does the most suspicious shit ever.
Hello, Nicholas.
Yeah.
How's it? Still a bit stiff.
I fucking knew that you were going to have that drop. As soon as I saw Sam's hand was fucked up, I was like, Hope's going to have that drop.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's because we did Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead as a date night recently, so it was in my head. Because it turned out Lost had never seen them and Feli had only ever seen them in German.
I can't imagine what those movies are like in German. Because the humor in those movies is so like quintessentially British. I can't imagine how you translate, like you localize that across to like German.
I have found the Sea Mine clip in German.
Huh.
We can watch.
Well,
we can watch this later.
Oh yes, can you believe this funny old man? We cannot understand him because he is from Schleswig-Holstein.
Oh my, yeah, the joke would be he's from like darkest Bavaria and he speaks some arcane dialect and he's Prussian. Like he still keeps Prussian outfit of his
forefathers. Why is he both Bavarian and Prussian?
Fuck, they're different parts of Germany.
Yes.
They are, and also it's because of
race. Yes, yes. Specifically, Bavaria is very southern Germany, and Prussia was made up the parts of what is now very northern Germany.
Yes. Listen, he keeps the Prussian traditions of his ancestors whilst being a proud Bavarian.
Wow.
Because his grandfather served in the Prussian military and beat his father and him. I don't know. Listen, we're going very off-piste, and it's all my
fault.
Yes,
it is.
And I don't care.
So, yeah, after, like, the most...
New Hammond drop.
Did you have New Hammond drop?
No, as in, New Hammond just dropped. We got fucking Dad Hammond.
oh, right, yeah. He's like, are you okay, sweetheart? I'll get you a nice cup of tea.
Here you go, sandwiches. Yeah. Note.
It's like, are you okay, dude?
Do you need custard cream to biscuits?
Just for you, Carter. Packet of custard cream.
Yeah, the rest of you go fuck. The rest of you go fuck yourself. Causality. Causality means I have to be nice to you this one time.
Sir, can I have a custard cream? Oh, fuck off, Jack.
No,
yeah,
the fabric of time, space-time, relies on me not giving you a custard cream, I'm sorry.
Tilk, you can have a ginger snap.
It's like utter bullshit, he just doesn't want to give him a custard cream. Sorry, it's just really funny to me, the image of, fuck you,
peering into an alternate timeline where Hammond gave them all the instead of everything's on fire.
So, yeah, they go through the Stargate, and then immediately find themselves coming out of the Stargate again.
And then kind of go, wee!
Well, they come out... Well, for a second, it seems like they've come out of the same Stargate. And then suddenly, everything fades away. And now, where's the Stargate gone? Where's the Stargate gone? This is very strange. We're in a room that's suspiciously the same shape and size.
That's the...
Well, I love how Jack just goes, huh, that looks like the butt end of a Talon missile. It's like, how do you know that by default, Jack? What are you even doing? Like,
he has autism.
Recognize a missile. Yes, he has autism. Fair
enough. So,
look, it's fine. There's a SpaceX logo on the rocket. It probably won't work.
Makes it worse. Not only will it not work,
it will still explode.
Not only will it not work, it will obliterate some random dude's car like 50 miles away.
Destroy the ecosystem, like cause untold damage, and that cunt will get away with it.
Yep. So, yeah.
Give that money to NASA, fucks.
They're all like trying to figure the way out, but
Teal proves himself to be
Drake,
best character throughout
Drake
this
once
episode.
Again, he forgot to, Drake and Josh, you know, once again, they've got themselves stuck in the treehouse. They didn't cut the door hole out.
that's a deep cut.
I'm pretty sure this is the second time I made that reference on the podcast.
Maybe.
So yeah, they're stuck in there, and then suddenly there's a countdown. The missile's about to fire.
Oh shit!
What do we do?
Let me out! Let me out! Ah! Which again, Teal'c's best boy.
Teal'c just like he lets the intrusive thoughts get to him. He's like, yo, but what if I just shot it?
What if I just shot it?
And it works.
It works, yeah.
It works, but it also like sets into motion the plot of this episode as well.
Yeah, it works, but it also acts as the secret hidden trigger event for summon dudes.
Yes. Yeah, they're all like, yo, that's crazy. Some dudes just appeared, and like they do interrogate them in a couple scenes time, but is no one like who watched that CCTV feed noticing the fact that they literally just like teleported out of nowhere into the room? Because it doesn't
get brought up. I don't think there's a camera down the bottom.
Well, there's a camera positioned enough so that they can see Teal'c shooting the missile, so.
Mm.
But yeah, immediately, like, dudes roll in and they're like, you're all under arrest.
Yeah. You're under arrest for trespassing, having a black man on military property in the 1960s, and anything else we can hit you with.
Yeah, so, yeah, they arrest them, throw them in some cells, and they start, like, processing...
Every time travel movie scene.
Yeah, they start, like, processing all of their shit, and then, like, they're like, we gotta send this off-site to be searched, and you didn't see it!
Mm.
Especially because they have what appears to be an alien space gun!
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
Yeah, we do get some traditional treatment of prisoners.
I do love how you see the fucking like space gun next to the M16s. It's like, yeah, no, this is even more ridiculous now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some MP5s, which, I mean, not quite contemporary, but it looks similar enough to be recognizable. And then there's just Zat.
Yeah, so they're all sort of they're in the Cheyenne Mountain cell that hasn't been changed in 30 years, which I totally believe that is.
Yeah. They're
even cleaned it.
US
haven't,
prisoner
haven't
treatment.
Even cleaned in 30 years.
Someone gets beaten. Oh yeah, God no! You would not clean that. Like, you would just leave it like that, and then just make them clean it when SG-1 get back to the modern day and be like, ha.
SG-1, clean my shit.
Yes, we've locked this room for 30 years. Don't know why. Turns out you were in there.
Right at the end of this episode, there's a bonded courier who shows up at the end and says, are you Jack O'Neill? I've got a letter for you. And he opens it up and it's just orders from Hammond to clean the cells.
It's like, O'Neill, clean the cell.
Yeah, so...
someone is looking through their stuff. Someone with the name tag of George who finds a note.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's like, huh, this is great, huh, crazy. So,
yeah, wonder what that's
so yeah
about.
They're in like the cell and they're all like arguing about the implications of time travel.
Are we Grandfather Paradox? Are we Bootstrap Paradox? Are we self-fulfilling prophecy?
Don't worry about it.
Can we go back in time? Can we go into ancient Babylon? Can we change time for the better?
Yeah. Oh.
Can we kill Richard Nixon?
You know what? Yeah, my favorite part about this is Daniel's whole thing here is like, oh, there's so many cool moments in history that we could like go to with the power of time travel. And like, not even for a second does Daniel be like, oh, I could use the power of time travel to save my wife.
Mm.
No, doesn't even occur to him, right?
Huh. That's valid. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I guess Daniel doesn't love Shari that much.
I think Chufa, what was the last time she got brought up?
Yes, Shari is currently not important enough to be worth considering. So don't worry about it.
Like, not even important enough for, like, a throwaway line? Like, goddamn.
Nope.
So, after sort of that little bit of bickering, our soldier boys show up again and they, like, drag Jack away for interrogation. Oh, I forgot the most important part there. In Russian, they ask them, "Are you Soviet spies?"
Yes. They speak Russian. Daniel replies, and for a second I think, holy shit, they've discovered a Soviet plot in the middle of Cheyenne Mountain in the past, which I can only say.
Yeah, Daniel's weakness here by having to be a huge nerd and prove how cool he is by showing them that he can speak Russian. Thereby, in their minds, confirming that they are indeed Soviet spies.
I do love how they just respond in Russian. Everyone just turns to Daniel.
They're all so mad.
Everyone just like looks at Daniel like, you fucking ingrate. You fucking absolute stupid son of a bitch. It's like, we're
gonna get fucking executed.
Base. They're pointing guns at us. They've spoken to us in Russian while wearing American uniforms with American, like, fucking name tags and shit. And you responded in Russian?
Yeah, so they drag Jack away for questioning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's doing the classic stuff, you know, don't say anything, we're not a lawyer. Now, we get the first of our little sci-fi little jokes. Look, if he just said, my name is, like, James T. Kirk, and that was it, it would be like a little ha-ha-ha. You know, that's kind of funny because, you know, Star Trek would have been a thing that would be very relevant at the time that they just traveled back.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be.
No, remember, it's 1969.
Yeah, Star Trek started...
TOS at this point was not...
TOS started in the 60s.
TOS at this point is not very popular, though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter it's not popular, though. It just is a, like, contemporary reference, so... If, like I said, if it was the only, like, little sci-fi bit joke that they did, for like, pop culture joke they did for the whole episode, I would have been like, aha, it's just a funny little thing. No, they overdo it so much.
Mm.
Like, literally right after this, he goes, aha, okay... My name was actually Luke Skywalker. Shut the fuck up, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, Jack is a joker, but I think this is the thing. Star Wars isn't out yet, and Star Trek at this point is not really so big, so it's a weird one.
I would have excused the Star Trek if he hadn't, like... If they didn't just keep doing it, is what, like... It's like, true. I get it!
The good news is, though, the interrogation, it's a proper interrogation. The guy in charge has got a cigarette, there's a swinging light, it's a little ominous, you know, no one does a proper interrogation nowadays.
Yeah, you know, Jack's sitting, he's completely naked, he's on the wicker chair with the bottom cut out. Our soldier Matt, Officer Guy Bob, is beating his testicles with the knotted rope.
The good shit.
Yeah.
So,
Mads Mikkelsen is there
They throw them all into, like, a prison escort bus. Probably to send them to, like, some black CIA black site to, like, immediately execute them.
Oh, they are 100% going to Guantanamo Bay, bracket 60s.
I mean, if they were being sent to Guantanamo Bay at the time, that would just be, like, a nice holiday, I think, I'm pretty sure.
When did Guantanamo Bay
crucially, Guantanamo Bay prison does not exist at this point in time.
Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Yeah, no, you're right. Established in 2002. Guantanamo Bay Naval Base.
But yeah, there's a naval base.
Has been operational since.
There's a naval base there.
Yes.
But that, like, the actual, like, torture prison is not there yet.
Oh, okay. So this is the dumbest shit, yeah. Right? So the Cubans signed a lease with the Americans in 1903 with no end date.
For fuck's sake, that's how it fucking happened? Jesus,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh no, it gets better, yeah. Right? The lease only expires if the US Navy abandons the base or both countries agree to end the lease. So the Cubans want to end the lease and the Americans are like, nah, fuck you.
I mean, officially, the detention camp has been closed now.
Yes. Also, I think the lease is only like four... The lease in 74 was only $4,000.
Oh, jeez. Cuba got a raw fucking deal out of that one.
They did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure that the United States has been completely honest about the fact that they've closed down the prison camp in Guantanamo Bay, and I'm sure they aren't doing shady shit there still, right?
Definitely.
So yeah, they're about to be fucking blacksited when... Oh no! There's a flat tire! How could this happen?
Oh no, what could have possibly... No, hold on. We missed two things, and they're two of the best things in the episode. First, right, we cut back to the present, and Hammond is staring wistful... You've got wistful
yes!
Hammond, who's like, oh, you know, SG-1 are on their own.
Yeah, sir,
send SG-5 to
sir,
do their
sir,
job.
You're saying we shouldn't send anyone to go looking for them? No! Do not ask any questions! Shut up!
Everything's fine! Do not... Hammond still
no
worried
question about, shall be asked.
Hammond worried about being court martialed 30 years after the
no, yeah. He's worried about the implications of time travel. All of the rest of them have been like, oh shit, are they assassinating Clinton? are they finally
the
fucking
thing.
Going after Kinsey?
No, they're going after this up-and-comer called George Bush Jr. You know, gotta make
what
sure
the...
we get a Democratic president for 4 more years.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think is gonna happen? You think that our great president is going to step down in the middle of his second term because of a huge scandal and embarrassment that causes him to become impeached?
Now, excuse me while I get this glass of water and drink it by this gate.
No, I want to draw your attention. No, the thing I want to draw your attention to, no, that's not it. I sent it to Frosty. I didn't send it to you, Ryan. When we see the prison van, we see a sign. And
oh
this
my
sign
fucking god, the fucking Albuquerque.
Yeah. Breathe deeply, folks. Soon you'll be in Albuquerque. Visit Mike's Leather Emporium for your puppy play, pony play, and kink needs.
Okay. She added the added the puppy play parts, but it does indeed say breathes to yes. Soon you'll be in Albuquerque.
Leather.
Visit Mike's Leather Emporium.
And there is a cowgirl with a whip.
Standing.
Well, there's no way you're going to take. There is
standing
no way
in front
you can
of,
take that.
It's definitely not supposed to be it, but standing in front of what looks like the Japanese flag.
Yeah, that's right. We've got all the things for your weird Asian kink fantasy.
It's brackets cowboy.
Brackets cowboy, yes.
Bracket.
He's come by a leather kimono
some cowboy
and a
stuff.
Web.
I guess we have some cowboy stuff as well. Yes. If you want it.
The leather kimono.
So
come
yeah,
on.
The prison truck stops because it's a flat tire.
Yeah.
And they send out
two men to fix
yeah,
the
they send
tire.
Out guys to fix the tire and they go, send that twink with the pistol.
Yeah, send our senior officer called George back there.
Send our senior twink.
Send George Russell back there.
Yeah, with just a pistol, with four very dangerous trained operatives. Does he need backup? Nah.
No.
he's got this.
You might be really surprised here, everyone. This random weird young guy called George, guess what?
It's George Hammond!
That's incredible. How could we, like... I could never figure this guy called George would be actually Hammond. I mean, his first name's General, right? Yeah, that was really confusing back then. Major General Hammond.
Yeah, Major General Hammond.
So he's like, okay, I've got this weird note. Please fucking explain to me what the deal is.
This is my handwriting, this is my note, and it has all the information about my life and all my weird likes and fetishes. What
so,
the fuck?
We're from the future.
Yep. We're your best friend.
I don't believe you. Oh, can I also say just props to this actor for, like, really getting, like, the Hammond, like, the Donis Davis mannerisms down in his voice, like, really well. Like, the vocal inflections.
Yeah. Vocals, great. Eyes, wrong color.
Oh, yeah, okay, doesn't matter. He wears contacts, whatever.
Contacts.
Yeah, Hammond in the future wears contacts for some reason. I don't care, whatever. He's wearing cosplay contacts, so I don't know, whatever, in the future forever. I don't know why he does that, but...
don't worry about it.
Yeah, he doesn't believe them initially.
Nope. And then they're like, hey, you watched the moon landing by your dad's bedside while he's having a fucking heart attack.
Hey, you know your dad? You know your really horribly sick dad? Your fucked up dad?
Remember the trauma?
He's like, well, damn, there's no way that these alleged Soviet spies could possibly have been doing reconnaissance and find that information about my family.
Well, guess that means that for the future.
But yeah, he's like, okay, fine, I believe you. So, Hammond, like, uncuffs them. He's like, okay, there's, like, two guys out by the tires. You're going to have to try and take them out. Here's your weird laser pistol, which... Yeah, here's your weird ray gun, which I'm just going to assume for some reason has a non-lethal function, even though I have no reason to believe that it does.
I mean, they wouldn't have MP5s and then also just have a zap as well. It's like a backup.
Yeah, but he's seeing that what it does is turn missiles off. But I'm going to assume this works on guys, too.
Oh, yeah, we go back to Michael Shanks's big complaint about the Zat, in that it just does anything, and what it could do is always consistently inconsistent, and he hates it.
Yeah, he's right.
He is right.
So, yeah, they fucking knock the dudes out outside.
Yep. And then another truck shows up, and they knock out three more dudes.
They're like, where's our shit? And they're like, oh, well, they're sending it out in a second supply truck, which just conveniently happens to be following exactly behind this at enough time to have passed for us to have this conversation together.
Hmm.
Really convenient, that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, they like lie in wait. The guys step outside. They go to investigate the bodies. They go, whose footprints are these?
Must have been the wind.
It must have
just a cardboard box.
Wind. There's just like a few cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
They have to tase Hammond as well.
Oh well, no! Hold on, you're skipping it right ahead here.
Oh, yeah, right, sorry.
So, yeah, Jack sort of yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcons them with the zappy-zap gun. And conveniently, everything is in this one truck.
In one box, in
fact. Two boxes.
Yeah, all our stuff is in two boxes, and okay. We're just going to make
this as well. It's like a full, like, stacked, like, huge army supply truck, and it's just for two boxes.
Mm.
Yeah, well, two very important boxes.
Hey, where's the CCTV?
Don't worry, that was also in there, yeah.
The guard's memories?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they're also in there. Yeah, we just put everyone that saw you in the box, Jack.
So yeah, at that point they're like, "Hey, Daddy, Zaddy Hammond, hey Zaddy, can we borrow some money?"
Here you go. Here's $50.
And Jack is, "Ha ha! I'll owe you with interest."
Yes.
Which kind
of not that takes seriously. Well, I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna keep your, you're gonna keep out your word there."
If I'm your boss, this is coming out of your
paper. I like had to like basically rewrite the first half of my notes here because word fucked up. But like in my initial draft of my notes, I did point here without knowing, of course, not yet knowing the end of the episode. I just as an offhand joke put down that. Damn, the inflation on that's going to be a real bitch.
I mean, imagine if, for a prank, Hammond had just been taking a pound off their wages, like a couple of dollars off their wages for as long as they'd worked there just to make the money back.
Well, no, he can't do that, right? He can't start taking the money away until they've already come back, right?
That's true, yeah.
You can't risk them knowing, right? And impacting the space-time. He's got to take it all in one lump sum from Jack the second he comes back.
So I have a weird extra canon note from the wiki about this. In 2012, a book was written that revealed that because of this entire incident, Hammond was like, "Holy shit, I'm going to survive to 30 years in the future. So when I'm in Vietnam with my best friend Jacob Carter, I'm going to go and save his fucking life."
That's so fucking dumb.
In the original timeline, Jacob Carter dies to the Viet Cong, and Carter never joins the Air Force.
Yeah, the one guy who knows he has plot armor.
Yes. So stupid. Anyway. Bye, George. Get stunned. Let's go for a walk in the woods, because we can't go a single episode without the Tourism Board of Vancouver saying, "You must shoot a scene in our wonderful woods."
So yeah, they're all like trying to like decode the note and trying to figure out, it's like, it's just some dates and some times. What could they mean?
The numbers, Mason. What do
the
they
numbers,
mean?
The numbers, what do they mean? They mean that you have to kill Dragovich, obviously.
Mason! Mason! We must kill them all, Mason! Come on, comrade!
Yeah, so, after they get their orders to kill Dragovich, I thought it was really weird that they did an episode after this, but they were sent back in time again to take part in the failed Bay of Pigs operation.
Oh no!
don't make this a Call of Duty bad plot podcast.
Oh. I mean, honestly, the Bay of Pigs thing is so fucked up because everyone knew about it because the Cuban exiles just talked to everyone, and the Cuban exile are just a special brand of fucked up because they want to bring back fucking Batista or something. They're like.
Really?
Yeah.
I know he's a really popular wrestler and he's had a really great I know it's really, really come together with his like acting career, but I mean I don't know if I would entrust him with running Cuba.
Well, the thing is, it's Batista. Oh, you just have to choice.
I'm just like, I'm imagining Batista now, like meeting a Batista.
I also thought he was really good in Glass Onion, but I don't think that we need. I don't think he has experience running a country.
Oh man, do you know about Bautista?
What?
He came back for a bit, right when people were really getting into this other guy, and they just pushed him to the stars, and he was booed out of every building. And he was wearing blue trunks for a while, so he became known as Bautista. And the popular meme was, how big is Batista's cock?
Fuck's sake.
Because he kept pointing at his like crotch, and he was like, yeah! And they're like, oh, he's wearing his crotch, I wonder how big it is. And anyway.
You know, every like future movie that Batista is in, they either have to like put extensive makeup on him, or they're going to have to explain why his character in every movie from now on has like shitloads of razor cuts on his head.
He doesn't have that many.
Quite a few.
No, a lot of that's mainly fucking just wrinkles.
I'm not touching this.
Also, you don't have to explain it. You can just say, like, fucking, he's just a hard nut.
He's an hard man from Bermondsey.
Yeah, I mean, like, the one thing he's, like, really been big at talking about. He's like, I want to do a rom-com. And again, just, like, I have to explain his, like, rom-com heartthrob character's, like, backstory of, like, why does this dude just have, like, a rate? Just, like, why is this dude being bladed?
I want to see Dave Bautista playing Dave Courtney in a rom-com.
No, I don't know why my mind went here, but I just thought it'd be really funny. Dave Bautista played in Prejudice.
Yes!
Just him exactly as he is. Just shirtless.
Can I just say, like you know, like all like the fight scenes and the war scenes, all of it. He just shows up and beats the fuck out of like it's just like runs for everyone.
Dave Bautista in Gains and Gejudice. They're prejudiced against him because his gains are too much. Man works, worships bulk, a disciple of the fitness.
So.
Look, they need a plan. So step one. Find the Stargate. Step two. Step three. Home.
I love is Daniel's plan here. Which is...
Oh, we'll get to Daniel's plan.
No, this is the scene. They only talk about Daniel's plan once they get to the...
Yeah, sorry.
This is now.
Yes, but when they actually put it into effect,
when they actually put it into effect, it's really funny. But right now, Daniel's plan is, well, we need to find where the Stargate is. So the one person we definitely know where the Stargate is Catherine Langford. But as, of course, Samantha rightly points out, but we can't impact time because Catherine and Daniel cannot meet until... the movie, surely that's fine because he was a different guy in the movie.
What if I just wore a wig and did a silly
accent? Yeah, I love it. That's his idea. What if I disguised as a foreigner, and at that point I got really worried that they were going to do something horribly racist.
I do kind of love how he says, "I was like, well, how would you do that?" It's like pick a language. It's week 25.
I thought it was funny, but again, I got very worried.
Daniel doing blackface to channel his Dutch
uncle. Yeah, I was like, are we gonna get like Daniel doing racist in like brown face or something?
Doing yellow face and pretending to be a researcher from Japan.
Yes, so he's going to get the surgery. He's going to get the surgery that makes you Japanese.
My name is Daniel Jackson. I am here.
My name is Daniel Jackson.
Oh, hello, yes,
my name is Daniel Jackson.
The Dutch authority of seriousness? Are we here to record all sorts of things about you? Ah, you're mad!
Yeah. I mean, it's as bad as that, but in a not racist way.
We'll get to that. I have some thoughts.
It's fine. You can't be racist towards the Germans. They know what they did.
It's time to hitchhike.
Yeah.
Gotta get to New York.
Yeah, like six cars go past. None of them want to pick them up.
One of them's a really nice old Corvette, and the other one's a really nice old
And Tarek decides to do the advanced hitchhiking strategy of run in the middle of the road and hope they don't just run you over. Which isn't a good bet being a black guy in the 60s, but...
find the biggest, hippiest butt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hippie van.
So I've actually just looked this distance up. It's only a 28-hour journey. I think I've matched their route. They take the weirdest route because they go from... we see them stopping at, like, St. Louis. Then they go to Chicago. Then they go to Philly. When you could just go Shire Mountain, Denver, Chicago, New York. Then, admittedly, you don't get the great cheesesteaks of Philadelphia.
Exactly.
But still, you gotta stop in Philly for a cheesesteak.
So, yeah, they get in the hippie van. And, like, their, like, explanation to them is just, like, we're, like, against... we're against
everything.
Yeah, we're against the man. And, of course, because, they're idiot hippies. They're like, wow. That's so true, bestie.
We have...
Well, I mean, I think what's meant to happen here is they do clock the military uniforms and assume they've...
Well, I mean, they literally
dodging the draft.
No, but I mean, like, that's probably what they're supposed to think from the start, which is why they go, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Also, we have a returning champion.
Hmm?
We've seen this actor before.
Okay,
don't know what.
Well, take the shaggy hair and imagine it was a dog.
What?
This is Zells from Spirits, the guy who turns into a husky.
Look, this...
Same
what?
Guy!
Look, you're pushing so far back, I'm just like, yeah, cool, okay.
That's like 8 weeks ago.
I told you, my memory doesn't extend beyond, like, yesterday.
Are you a Zoomer or a
Zoomer?
I can't remember. Yeah, you're a Zoomer, yeah, she has no object permanence. Like,
she just watches a TikTok and forgets what's going on.
I had to edit this episode to have like a permanent like Subway Surfers clip beneath that. It was in like four quadrants, and like the top left had the actual episode. Then next we have like a Family Guy funny clip. Then we have an Andrew Tate clip, and then we have Subway Surfers.
I logged into a blank YouTube because I can't remember why. I was fiddling around with that block, and I logged into a blank YouTube. And one of the things recommended for me was Piers Morgan and T's Andrew Tate, and I was like, those are rancid
vibes. Was there a Subway Surfers video
underneath
it as well?
No, there wasn't. There was like a Sidemen video. There was a fucking SSS Sniper Wolf video.
There might as well have been a fucking... That might as well have just been the fucking quick start guide to becoming a fucking radical right wing fuck.
Oh, yeah, no. The algorithm knows exactly what it wants to feed you. Oh, also, there was like three videos like denying fucking Palestinians' rights and shit. So, you know. And a video from the IDF. Thanks, YouTube.
Yeah, you're recommending. Your recommended feed knows that you're racist.
This wasn't my recommended feed. This was a blank YouTube for testing. It was in like an incognito tab.
So,
yeah, blank YouTube.
Yeah,
by the way,
no
is hell. If you didn't make a YouTube account like years ago, where you could like build up your feed without having blank YouTube, you are like have to go through
hell. I mean, like
hell.
The only time I ever see blank YouTube is like when you Chromecast something. And just like it just shows like the black, like, well, it's like waiting to load a video, it just shows like the standard like homepage, and it's just like pages and pages of just like the Mr. Beast face.
so long, by the way. We are running.
I mean, again, the problem is we have a good episode where not too much happens, so we just have ample opportunity to riff.
No, the thing is we have talked about the episode as well. Yeah. Like we're rather than talking about the episode, oh, this happened, we're actually describing what happened.
So, yeah. Turns out that these hippies, they're going to Woodstock, and then they're going to go across the border with Canada.
To Canada!
As well.
The war with Canada.
Yes, the war with Canada. Yes, I did love that line, and everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Oh, man. Tilk doesn't understand geopolitics.
Well,
like, why
Well, no, Tilk doesn't understand. He's in 1969. He has
no
idea
about Vietnam. No one's talking about the Vietnam War. What I also love is just like, like the hippie dude asks him like what the deal with his like Jafar symbol on his head is.
Oh, he says it's a slave symbol.
From like
death to false gods.
And like,
and he's like, they're this stoned out hippie really guy. Good, is just like, well, that's so cool.
Well, part of me sit here going, this is really good, but oh god, they could have written this so badly if they got it wrong, because it's like, you know, black actor, slave symbol. It's like, they could have got this real wrong.
Yeah, they're just starting out hippie guys. Like, cool.
Yeah, again, Stargate's biggest problem is that they just, in a way, it's a good thing at times, and it also ends up being a bad thing, is that they tend to forget that they're writing a black guy.
I mean, I feel like they don't forget. I doubt they forget. I think they're doing this on purpose. Not in a bad way. Like, you know, this is to show representation and that this happened. But it's from a very 90s or 80s, like, way of showing it.
Sorry, I meant more, like, there are times where it seems to happen, where, like, the implications are a bit fucked. Whereas this is one of the times they're doing it on purpose, and actually it's not too bad.
Yeah, this time it was
good. Like all of the times the NID tries to, like...
Oh, forcibly shove Tilk into, like, the fucking examination chamber to do experiments on him? Yeah, that's a bit, That feels fucking weird.
Yeah, I can't believe... Yeah, it was a really edgy episode where they did the time travel episode where they made Tiao go back in time to the Tuskegee experiments. Okay, that one's gonna get me cancelled.
Oh
yes!
That one's gonna A, get you cancelled. B, no one who listens to us is gonna know what that is. There's gonna be like
that one's gonna get me cancelled.
You want to cut?
Well, if it wasn't the other thing,
Frosty continues to attempt to be cancelled. Speedrun style.
Don't worry, I said stuff that I got cut for the last episode. I mean, viewers, what?
Yeah, Ryan did a really weird bit where he listed his list of favourite slurs.
Hey, listen, the slur zone is an important part of the podcast.
Yeah. He listed out all his favourite slurs, and Hope was like, okay, Ryan, I don't think we should put that in the episode.
And I very, very much wanted it in there because it was part of my culture as being an Englishman. But I wasn't... No, my favorite slur is how you speak when you have had enough alcohol.
Hey,
anyway, moving on from cancelling myself and Frosty.
So they have like a nice little camp.
Mutually assured cancel.
They have like a nice little camping session with.
Oh, I mean, before we get to the campsite, we get a hippie montage with royalty free music.
Montage. Yeah.
And Daniel teaches Tilk to drive.
I will say, right, the clothes.
Oh yes, the clothes are on. Right.
Tilk is
my god, the fucking
drip
on. All my original notes before I lost them, but I do remember what I wrote, which was I wrote that he looks like Tilk is dressed like he's a gay, like he's a part of the gay version of the Warriors.
I was going to say he looks like an even more flamboyant version of our Guy DeVito child.
I was picking up
that was a good shout. My version was a gay version of the Warriors.
I like that too. But I'm it looks like they were going for a Hendrix. But I like the gay Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play!
Warriors, come out to play! Yeah, they get their cheesesteaks, they leave Philly, and they head for
New
York, and now it's time
I
to
watched
camp.
That movie for the first time with Ember a while back, and I was like, wow, this movie is so misogynistic. So unbelievably misogynistic.
It's a great movie. It's
this is one of the most misogynistic films I've ever seen.
Problematic thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're having a nice little camp out under the stars where they're very loudly talking about how the solar flares caused them to be sent back in time.
And how General Hammond probably set this whole thing up.
Uh-huh.
Because Carter's like, oh yeah, right, it was Hammond that had me researching solar flares and time travel. Solar flares!
Also, like, Hammond, if you just didn't... I mean, why did you do this in the first place? Like, I understand the time travel, time wane bullshit, but like... Did you do this the first time round as well? Like, before you knew about the past, did you have them investigating solar flares?
Well, no, I think the implication here is that the entire impetus for the continuation of the Stargate project was because they went back in time and basically systematically went around reminding everybody involved that it was really important, unintentionally, essentially. Mm.
Yeah, actually, that's probably fair.
So...
Yeah.
This episode is the only episode of Stargate that has time travel like this.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. It's kind of... Like I would have been, tired of it if they overdid it, but, like...
No. There may be time travel in the future, but future time travel is more like how it happens in Final Fantasy XIV. You go back in time, you change the timeline, boom, we have new timeline. We've gone from timeline to timeline.
Like I said, I would have been, bored with it if they overused it, but it's kind of sad. It would have been nice to see this happen, I don't know, maybe once again later on in the show. But
so Dragon Ball Z has an interesting time travel where it's like someone goes back in time to fix their future and doesn't because they just splinter the timeline and fix a different future.
Yes,
and it's actually really interestingly done, and I'm surprised it happened to Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens. It's just we go from timeline A where, oh shit, the Black Rose has killed everyone, to timeline B where, the Warrior of Light is alive and everything is fine.
Well, that was a really weird... That was really weird when Dragon Ball suddenly became Final Fantasy XIV.
I mean, it's not that
fun. It was really crazy, that crossover... that crossover quest when suddenly Goku appears. Stargate. They're discussing time travel, and they're all like, "Can you put that in English, sir?"
Yes, we do.
Sir, those solar flares are fucking all pussies.
Oh, right in there. Right.
So they're describing.
We need someone who can grab it.
Yeah,
right
so they back. Are like describing intricately like how the solar flares caused them to be sent back in time very loudly. And they're like, oh no, damn, how did the hippies overhear us?
Yeah, they're just screaming it essentially because it's like, can you hear us on the mic?
Yes, and of course they do another fucking Star Wars joke at this point. Where they go, we're aliens, and we're from a galaxy far, far away. 1970.
Alright, so it's already done to death at this point.
I mean, here's the thing, right? It's not come out yet in canon, so this hippie is clearly George Lucas.
So 70... I don't know. Well, his name's Michael, so it's kind of like...
Yeah. That's the
that would have been really funny if they never revealed that young Hammond was young Hammond, because then we could have said that he was George Lucas. They convince
the hippies agree to help them.
Yeah, because they're stoned out hippies. They tell them they're aliens, and they're like, "Yeah, cool." Like they prove it. Dude. They prove it with like with the fucking zappy gun on the fire. But again, these are stone nut hippies. They were already fully willing to go along with this.
Hmm.
Hell, they don't even care if they actually believe them. Just
yeah,
like,
it's like, oh, cool. Yeah, they're just like, yeah, cool, whatever.
Anyway, it's August 10th. Do you know what happened on August 9th? Charles Manson killed a load of people.
Oh, yes. Shit.
Really?
This is... this is August the 10th, 1969. While this paper cut front isn't real, this is the day after the Manson murder, so it's the day it would be in the newspaper.
Wait, was that intentional? Did they pick that date on purpose?
I don't know, but I think it's just like... I don't know.
Because that's a really weird... That's a really weird, completely unrelated to this episode, like...
I think they just, like, picked a recognizable date.
I guess. Sir, we've accidentally travelled in the future to the 11th of September, 2001.
Huh. What could be happening here?
Oh, it's good. Good news, we won't be... Good news, we won't have much people looking out for us. Bad news, probably the airport.
For some reason, the Antarctica Stargate has been moved aboard a jet.
Yeah, we've arrived on Flight 93. And Hillary Clinton is just below with an with a Grand Tour missile ready to shoot it down.
There's only one thing we can do. Musical Mark
I get the feeling the Stargate probably wouldn't fit on a passenger aircraft cargo hull.
No, remember they needed like a big DC-5 or something to
move. Yes. You just take out, just send it in the like 747, take all of the seats out and just have it lay down flat.
How far are we into the episode? I've just realized the
25 minute mark.
Yeah,
we'll be going for like an hour and a half.
So,
to be fair, there's not much of the episode left because we have a plan. Step one: drop Jack and Tilkoff at the observatory and confirm the solar flare.
Yeah, Dan, that's crazy. Solar
also, hope Jack doesn't blind himself.
Yes. Meanwhile, we're going to go and visit Catherine Langford.
We're going to have a jarring shift in tone.
Yeah. So, yeah, Daniel and Sam show up to just Catherine's house and be like, yes, hello, we are very, very Germans. And he does, like, the really, like, stereotypical, like, random bad accent while also inserting random German words into...
My father, he was taken to America in 1945. Do not ask what he was doing before this.
Also,
my name is Daniel von Braun.
Yes, my name is, this is my very lovely wife, Samantha Göring.
I am Daniel Mengele.
That's
Mengeles are a proud Argentinian family.
Yeah, they are. They proudly voted in their new right-wing president who's going to abolish the central bank and make it legal to sell children.
Yeah, love it. I've been looking for some children to buy.
Do not say that.
No, genuinely, this guy's plans are like, make abortion illegal because you can sell the kids instead. Libertarian right-wing paradise.
Floyd Frosty's been countable.
Yeah. Okay. Libertarian paradise. Libertarian paradise. Age of consent should be 11.
Yeah. PvP. Welcome to a PvP enabled zone.
actually, I think that should be a sex license.
Is that the thing? Wasn't someone saying like as long as you're mature?
That was fucking Yandere Dev.
Fuck me.
We already knew he was a pedophile, but But we already knew he was a paedophile, but now he has, you know, actual allegations against him. But
sorry, I went to grapple.
I do love about the whole original, like, weird, like, sex license thing, in which he, like, walked back on it and was like, I was purely, of course, doing a thought experiment about this whole thing, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, sure, buddy. So you don't think it should be real? Oh, no, of course I do think it should be real. But, of course, nobody who's actually a child would be able to pass the exam.
And if they were, it would be a fucking own
coach a child to say groom
them. It's not like
them.
You can buy the answers online.
It's not like us yet. It's not like a predator could groom a child to pass an exam.
I like the idea that it, like the sex exam is like the fucking British like citizenship exam where you have to like answer the most like fucking bizarre, obscure questions possible.
That's right. Kindness is not a sexual value.
Now, class, where is the clitoris located?
Damn, every AMAB guy, every non-trans AMAB guy, every cis AMAB guy completely failed the sex license exam.
I don't even know what AMAB means.
Assigned male at birth.
Assigned male at birth.
Yes, that's you, Ryan.
Yes, that's you, Ryan.
Specifically, I said cis, AMAB. So yes, that's you, Ryan.
Yay.
I also have access to a brain, so I can figure it out. So I kind of know
where it is.
It's pretty obvious. It's a little red button.
Now. Yeah, I think it's somewhere near the vulva.
Yes, open your Volvo estate. Get your Volvo estate, flip the red button up, and realize that actually it's a turbo Volvo estate from the British touring car series.
The clitoris is just a nitro button. Like, he just turns on the NOS. Sorry.
The clitoris is stored inside the balls.
Oh, no.
So, anyway, you know, have you considered this thing the gateway to heaven? Do you know where it is? I wish to go to heaven.
Yes, have you heard of this thing called Steins Gate? Can you believe it? They have a very transphobic character in it.
Have you heard of the hit sequel Robotics Knots? That's in the same canon. Could you believe this bullshit?
I don't know what that is.
I have heard something about experiments carried out in 1945. No, by your family.
We know what my family were doing in 1945.
Yeah, being paperclip.
They were enjoying the lovely countryside.
they were being paperclip.
Yeah, they were being forcibly redistributed to Florida.
Redistributed? I'm just imagining. The actual platonic ideal of like Soviet paperclip would actually be everyone gets a Nazi each according to their abilities and according to their needs.
No, what actually happens is they get all the Nazi scientists in a plane over Florida, kick them out of the plane with a parachute, and be like, "All right, if you get to Nazi, you live. If not, let the crocodiles eat you."
Where we drop them?
Yeah, we drop them right there in Gator Town.
Where are we dropping, boys?
Off, let's go wipe out Tomato Town.
So, they managed to. What I love about this scene is that I'm sorry, if I was Catherine Langford in this scene, I wouldn't think this is a guy who, like, is related to someone my father worked with, especially when he starts asking, where is this armory in DC that the Stargate is in? I would be like, this guy's a Soviet spy. This guy's a fucking spy.
I mean, he's not a Soviet spy, he's an NKVD spy. No, not NKVD, fuck, what's the East Germany?
Why has my brain gone blank? I should know. Why is my brain gone blank? I know this.
He's East German, and isn't they?
The Stasi.
Yeah, this guy from the Stasi.
Oh, man, my brain went blank for some reason.
Did you say Soviet blob?
Soviet?
That is just the Vine Boom sound effect at this point to me.
I'm sorry, Catherine. How the fuck did, like, not every alarm bell go off in your head the moment this weird German guy is like, where is this gate? Ja, and in which DC armory is it?
What? To open the doors.
And where do you store your nuclear missiles?
I suggest you don't worry about this sort of thing and just fuck enjoy off. Yourself. That goes for you all, too.
Wow, that's rude.
I had that drop, completely forgot to use it earlier, and then... I'm sorry for inflicting Austin Powers on you again.
Solar flare. There we go, it happened.
Austin Powers was caused by a solar flare? Okay.
No. They just took a car back in time. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and they also did extreme amounts of racism, misogyny, transphobia, and everything. Yeah, what if he made a dog shit trilogy of movies with every kind of bigotry possibly imaginable in them, and also they're not funny? We're basically at the end of the episode at this point.
Yeah, Jack sees the solar flare and is like, yes, we're going home tomorrow. Can't do a Jack O'Neill.
Home tomorrow.
They've shown up in the van.
I don't know.
Fucking outside the hippies just have a fucking breakdown. They have a fucking breakdown because they're like, please, take us with you back to your home planet.
Breakdown.
This is the shit sandwich atop this cake of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
The hippie guy, I can't remember his name, he's a nice guy, and the army would absolutely ruin him, and let's be real. He would go to Vietnam, and the Viet Cong would fucking kill him, and rightfully so.
Yeah, immediately. But also, like, it wouldn't be his... That's such a weird one, because it's not... Most people who went to Vietnam, it was not their choice. But also, it's also not the Viet Cong's choice to not kill someone
believe that our hippie guy here, he got dispatched, he went over, he ran away with a Viet Cong soldier who became his boyfriend, and they enjoyed a lovely, wonderful gay relationship together, and no one can tell me otherwise.
Wasn't he married? He has a girlfriend.
Yes. Genuinely, fuck the timeline. You should. This man has absolutely saved your bacon, has helped you out, been nothing but nice.
Yeah, don't make him.
Shared his
don't make him go to Vietnam.
And his food with you. Yeah, do not let this man go to Vietnam, Jack.
But the timeline.
What? Timeline? Do the right thing. Save this man's life.
But it'll put hair on his chest.
No! Vietnam is a horrible, horrible... Which is probably, the biggest problem that Stargate will keep having is that it can't take Vietnam as what it was and what everyone knows it is because it's pro-American military.
That's the weird thing about this scene is just, like, they steer clear of saying the Vietnam War was bad. They just sort of, like, do the equivalent of, like, an awkward turn to the camera and being like, Yeah.
Vietnam, that was the thing that happened, you know?
Well, wonder why he's sad about it. Anyway.
I've been buying your nose riding for years.
So yeah, why once they leave the van, I just find this the funniest shit ever. Yep. In that they're like trying to sneak in, and they've just come out of the most conspicuous vehicle ever.
Fun fact: yeah. We don't know what happens. Then Sir and Miss never appearing again.
Also, when you said the sandwich on top of this episode, I thought you were going to be referring to a different scene towards the end of this episode.
No.
Which I also thought was unnecessary dog shit.
Yes.
So, They
hotwire some trucks, plug the gate into the trucks, dial the gate, and there's a basic action scene, and they go through the gate, and everything's fine, and we don't talk about the dubious canon dimension.
They go through the fucking gate, and they arrive in the future!
To this day, this scene has got one relation. There's only one other bit of material that mentions this, and it's the 2007 SG-1 book, Roswell.
Yeah.
Which only explains what the thing in Cassandra's hand is.
Yeah, they're like...
Does not explain anything else about this.
Yeah, they're like, because of the action scene you were in, you didn't go through the gate at the right time. So you've been sent forward into the future. And it's me, old... Well, not old, but like older woman Cassandra.
I miss my lesbian mum, Sam. How about a hug for old times?
Yeah, and she's like,
I miss Dr. Granger.
You, after this point, you told me, so Hammond told you to go back, how to go back in time, and then how to get back, and then you had to tell me to get you back from...
I suggest you don't worry about this sort of thing and just enjoy yourself. That goes for you all.
Yes, also, but the fact that they are here and that there isn't older Cassandra at all has now told them that they don't all perish and die against the bald.
Yep.
So, you know, they know the future now, so...
By the way, Cassandra has one more appearance in the series.
This is
the penultimate experience. This is her penultimate.
Yeah, scene, she tells Sam. Tell Sam there's another bomb. It's in my.
With Kojima writing the episode last week.
I don't need this.
Yes, but yeah. Yeah, and Hammond is like, and everyone's like, whoa, but how did you know when the right time was going to be to do all of this, Hammond?
Hello, Nicholas.
How's it, Hammond? Still a bit stiff?
Yeah, it's like, it relies on the fact that that Carter would never ever get a similar cut on her hand at any point in time prior to this.
I suggest you don't worry about this and just enjoy yourself.
Yes, then we get the ha-ha funny as well at the end, where Hammond is like, oh, by the way, you owe me $531, Jack.
It should have done compound interest.
We should have, you have a fixed rate API, it's just a fucking like...
Yeah, that's a good point. What did they pay
the interest rate?
The general, like, interest growth, like, $1 is now worth $1 billion or something.
Yeah, Tan Flesh was crazy.
Yeah, that's why you go to Mike's Leather Shack to see the crazy inflation.
So what did this episode say about, hippies and the Vietnam War?
It said that they don't agree with it. That's kind of it.
Yeah, touched on that. I think it shows that this show has problems in that it's not able to rectify the hoorah pro-military with the whole, hey, we knew the Vietnam War was bad by the 90s. Like,
we knew the Vietnam War was bad during
the war. We knew the war was bad in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and we've had all these great movies. Like, we've had like Apocalypse Now, we've had the Deer Hunter, we've had this big cultural shift.
Yeah, great. And great movies like Rambo, yep.
Yeah. Because of all of this, right, I just don't even, because even despite all that, because it's a pro-military show, it's not able to process the fact that Vietnam was bad, and it proudly meant, and like the show will mention that like Hammond was in Vietnam, Jacob was in Vietnam.
So yeah, I love how they...
It's something they're proud of.
I love how they spend the whole time like tiptoeing over, wonder what hippies were mad about during this time. Mm. Yeah, they were mad about the system for some reason during this time period.
Yeah, they were worried about the war with Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah, they definitely weren't worried about...
I was going to the worst place in the world.
Yeah, England.
Don't go to England.
Don't go to England.
There you go.
Thanks, Winnie.
That was a good episode.
It was. Are you ready for the two-part finale?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, you know what would be really funny?
Part one was a clip show?
How long was the gap between the end of season two and the start of season three?
Beep boop. Looking. Season two, season three. Last episode of season two aired February 10th, 1999. 4 months.
Okay, so yeah, no more episodes of 4 months. No, kidding. We're now at a period in time in which Frosty is alive.
Yep.
Woo!
Yo, I'm alive now.
Indeed.
Well done.
Have we got any last thoughts on the episode?
No.
Then we can wrap this up.
Last thoughts on the episode are just basically... It doesn't really say much about the military,
yes.
But it's
yes.
Trying
yes.
to...
That's what actively avoiding
well,
saying
I think it says a lot by saying nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Silence speaks 1,000 words, and we still can't quite admit that Vietnam was bad. Yes. Yes, you can. It was
the Vietnam
bad.
War was a troubling time for everyone, for some reason.
And for everyone.
Especially especially the Vietnamese who were bombed, firebombed, agent
We don't
orange.
Care about them yet, though.
Oh, it's not just the Vietnamese. It was,
Cambodia.
Cambodia!
Hey, let's put Pol Pot in charge. Bring on the death.
Well, wait, yeah, you forgot something very crucial about Pol Pot, though. Not a communist.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit,
exactly, right?
Yeah,
he's the good.
He's a staunch anti-communist.
He's the good kind of genocidal murderer.
Exactly, a staunch anti-communist one. And he gives us money.
Well, as we all know, the only thing that can stop a bad genocidal dictator is a good genocidal dictator.
I thought it was a tactical thermonuclear strike.
So, next episode!
What's that Simpsons joke? What's that Simpsons joke where we will release snakes to get rid of this, and then we will release gorillas to kill the snakes, and
next episode! The Stargate Oversight crew litigate the Israel-Palestine war.
No!
Bad yes, situation.
I should joke about that. I guess we kind of already did that. Unironically. Like, two episodes or whatever ago, we actually did do that.
Okay, cool. Alright. Bye everyone, I guess?
Yeah, bye everybody. All remember right. to, loudly call for a ceasefire. Bye.
Yeah, remember when your father figure puts a
good.
Note in your pocket? Right. Don't question it. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
how then do we get back to the future?
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Stargate Oversight. Stargate Oversight is myself, Hope Rayol, Arctisha Frost, and Ryan. These episodes have been edited by me, produced by me, and I'm Hope Rayol. We'll see you next time for Sherlock Holmes, The Final Problem.